Well, good evening. It's good to be back.
Good evening.
Tonight, we'll hopefully have a good time and with the Word tonight, and then we'll have a little fellowship afterwards and have some sweet stuff to celebrate some birthdays.
Yeah.
Well, tonight we're going to continue on in our series about angels. We'll be wrapping it up here in a couple of weeks. And tonight, where we're going to kind of hone in on, is the angel of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've noticed in your reading, especially of the Old Testament, that there's a couple of handfuls of passages where you have this Old Testament personage referred to as the angel of the Lord or the angel of Jehovah. It's a unique title, a special title, almost distinguished from some of the other angels in the Bible. And there's often a question on, well, who exactly is this angel of Jehovah, this angel of the Lord? Is he just kind of a special angel, you know, kind of like Michael or Gabriel? Those are the only two holy angels that is revealed to us what their personal name is. And so is it like one of them, just a special angel? Or there's a lot of thought, and people think, well, is this actually a theophany? That is a visible representation of God in the Old Testament. And that is because we'll look at some of these, because there's almost a blending or a mixing here, because when the angel of the Lord is talking, then all of a sudden it's God that is talking. And so who is it? Who is this angel of the Lord? And a lot of people think that maybe this is actually what we might call a Christophany, or an appearance in the Old Testament of the pre-incarnate Christ. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the member of the triune Godhead who has made himself visible to mankind. And so some wonder, just, you know, if this isn't just an ordinary angel. So anyway, there's just kind of a question. Who is this angel of the Lord? And so that's kind of what we're going to look at tonight, look at a few passages, hopefully pique our interest a little bit. But we'll start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump on in there. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for bringing us back tonight, for giving us this day, a day of rest, where we're reminded that we cease from our works and we take our ease and we rest in your great work for us. Encourage us tonight as we think about this special messenger that you have sent. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, have y'all in your studies of the Bible, have you ever done a little study on the angel of the Lord, or, you know, been inquisitive about this special, I might call it a special personage, if I can spit that out? Well, I'll just say in my own spiritual pilgrimage, the first time that I really remember really wondering about the identity of this angel of the Lord was quite a few years ago, but I had this idea for a Bible help. I don't know if you have had a red letter edition of the New Testament, and where all the words of Christ in red. Well, I had this bright idea that, you know, it would be a good Bible help if you had a red letter edition for the Old Testament. Yeah.
I was just thinking about that this morning.
Well, hey, you and I are, we were connected, because we are on the same kind of wavelength, which makes me feel better about my brain. If you thought about it, then it does make me feel better about that. But I had this idea, you know, if we had a red letter edition of the Old Testament, and I actually pitched this idea to some Bible publishers and gave them some examples, said, you know, it might spur some more reading of the Old Testament. I mean, all the words words of God. In the all scripture, they're all the words of God, but it kind of helps in study if you see when God is the first person speaker. And so in preparing for this, in reading through the Old Testament, I started marking all the places where God was the first person speaker in the narrative. And while I was marking up my Bible, making my own little red letter edition of the Old Testament, in a few places, I was having a problem discerning exactly who was speaking in a handful of passages, because it seems that, you know, it was like, well, is God speaking here, or is it this angel of the Lord that is speaking? And it was almost kind of blurred and mixed, and it was I didn't even know. In fact, I put this thing into this Bible publisher. I don't know what to do about, you know, these certain passages. We'd have to put a note there. But that was kind of my introduction into wondering who this angel of the Lord or the angel of Jehovah is. Now, it is helpful for us to remember that the word angel, at least in the Greek, angelos, it just means messenger. That's what an angel is. It is a messenger from God. In fact, we sang, I think, in our second song tonight, we mentioned the word gospel, a very familiar word to us. It is the word in Greek, evangelion. The word angel is in the word gospel in the Greek. We say the gospel is the good news. It's the good message, the good angel, the good message. And so an evangelist, you know, in the word evangelism, right in the middle of our word evangelism is the word angel, because when you're an evangelist and we're evangelicals, we're giving the good message, because an angel is a messenger. And so when we are about evangelism or the gospel, we're giving a good message. And so when we think of angels, we spent quite a few weeks thinking about angels, but at the bare bones thing, an angel is a messenger of God. It is a spiritual creature, a spiritual entity that God sends. And you could say that the angel of the Lord, this messenger of the Lord, is a special kind of a messenger that kind of shows up, at some critical times in the Old Testament, at least in my reading. There's something unique about this messenger of the Lord or this angel of the Lord. And so we're just going to look at a few of these tonight. We won't get all of them, and I'm not going to take them in order, but we're going to start off in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2. And again, if you want to stop and hang out a bit or ask a question, please feel free to jump in there. Just Judges 2, 1 through 5. And here we run into the angel of the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you into the land which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and you shall tear down their idols, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have not done? I mean, here the angel of the Lord is speaking to the people of Israel. They have disobeyed God. But the angel of the Lord says something. He says, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. And he says, I'm the one that made a covenant with you. It's kind of interesting that the angel of the Lord is the one that said, I brought you out of Egypt. And I'm the one that made a covenant with you. But, I mean, you read this passage in the first five verses. It seems that this messenger, at least in some way, this messenger from God, is identified with God himself. Because he's the one that brings them out of Egypt. He is the one that makes a covenant with them. Turn over to Judges 6 when you get over to the time of Gideon. look at the angel of the Lord comes and sits down under this tree. He gets up a conversation with Gideon. Look at verse number 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And so here the angel of the Lord enters into a discourse with Gideon. Verse number 14. And then the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel." That's interesting. The angel of the Lord in verse 12 appears to him, says, "The Lord is with you." And then in verse 14, it is the Lord himself who delivers this message to Gideon. Go down to verse 20. And now it's the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and unleavened bread and lay it on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. And when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And then the Lord says to him, "Peace be to you. Don't fear. You won't die." So here Gideon has this encounter with the angel of the Lord, who is in fact the Lord who is speaking to him. Gideon offers him a sacrifice. The angel accepts it. And then when he realizes it's the angel of the Lord, he says, "Wow, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And God says, "Don't worry, you're not going to die." An interesting a little bit of an encounter there. There's a similar one. We're still in Judges. Go to Judges 13. This is over the birth of Samson. Or the promise of the birth of Samson. Judges 13, verses 16 to 18. Like I said, these are some just to kind of whet our appetite and get us going here. Judges 13, verses 16 to 18. The angel of the Lord already appeared to Manoah's wife. Then they pray. The angel of the Lord comes back. Now he's talking to both Manoah and his wife. Verse 15. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, that we may prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food, but if you prepare the burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." So Manoah did not know that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" Again, the angel of the Lord told him that they were going to have a son. And then verse 18, "But the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is a wonderful?'" So here, Manoah, he didn't really know who he's talking to. He's not for sure. But he asked the name, and the angel says, "Well, why are you asking my name? Because my name is wonderful." Now, I don't know if that checks any boxes for you or makes you wonder. Is there someone else in the Bible whose name is called Wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Go on down to verse 20. And so here Manoah, he's going to offer this sacrifice, as it were, before the angel of the Lord. "And it came about when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame to the altar. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And now the angel of the Lord did not appear to Manoah or his wife again. And Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, 'We will surely die because we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'Well, if the Lord desired to kill us, then he would not have accepted the burnt offering from us.'" It's kind of in Manoah's mind, once he realized who he was talking to, that this was actually the angel of the Lord, the angel of Jehovah. And he says, "Wow, we're going to die because we have seen God. We have seen the face of God." Kind of kind of interesting there. And another account, 1 Chronicles 21, verses 16 to 18. This is, we've talked about this one before. 1 Chronicles 21.
Okay.
Verses 16 to 18. So far, there's these encounters with this special messenger from Jehovah. And to see this messenger was at least taken by the people of God to see God himself. And to hear words from this messenger was to hear words from God. Because this messenger was the one that led them out of Egypt, and the one that actually made a covenant with them. Now here the one in 1 Chronicles 21, this is the one, you remember David's sin. He sinned by numbering the people. God was going to judge him, you know, the 3 days of pestilence. Well, look right into verse 21. So God, to punish Israel, he sends one angel. He sends one messenger. The angel of the Lord. Verse 16, and David lifted up his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with his drawn sword in his hand, and he stretched it out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders covered with sackcloth fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Is it not I who commanded to count the people? Indeed, I am the one who has sinned and done this very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? O Lord, my God, please let your hand be against me and my father's household, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So here David sees the angel of the Lord with the sword that he had already destroyed 70,000 people and he was about to destroy Jerusalem. He stops at a certain place. And then the angel of the Lord commands David, "You build an altar right here." And then you go on down and read, at the place of that altar was the place where the temple of God was to be built. So here this angel of God shows up in the judgment of the people of God, stops for a bit at the command of God, and then orders, this is where the temple, where the altar is to be built, and where the temple is to be built. So a very crucial point in the history of the nation of Israel. Now these are just, you know, some. Now let me go back in time a little bit. Maybe the most famous time of the angel of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and this is probably maybe the... like I said, that was just kind of to whet your appetite a little bit. This is a very significant messenger from God, a very significant angel that has God's name on him. Exodus 3, and this is the account of the burning bush. Okay, this is where Moses, tending the flock, he sees this marvelous sight of a bush that is on fire, and yet the bush is not consumed. And when he comes to the bush, somebody speaks to him from the bush. And who is it? Well, Exodus 3, verse number 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked and beheld the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, "I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight and why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Okay, so you see the dynamic that's going on here. Moses sees the bush. He goes over to the burning bush. Out of the bush, it is the angel of the Lord who begins a conversation with him. It is this messenger of God that starts the conversation. But in the middle of the conversation, the angel of the Lord kind of switches the verbiage a little bit, and he says, I'm the God of Abraham, and I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Isaac. Moses hides his face because he was afraid to look at God. So who was in the bush?
God.
God was in the bush. Well, the angel of God was in the bush. So the special messenger of God was in the bush and was talking to Moses, but it was God that was in the bush that was talking to Moses. And so again, it makes sense. So who is this special messenger of God that's in the bush talking to Moses? You go on down, and as the conversation continues, go on down to verse number 14. Verse 13. And then Moses said to God. So he's talking to God in the bush, right? Or the angel of God in the bush. And Moses says to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and now they may say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? And so God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here, the angel of Jehovah that's in the bush, who is associated with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is in the bush, and is conversing with Moses and reveals his name to Moses. He says, no, I am that I am. This wonderful and mysterious name of God, I am. And again, like I asked earlier, who else has the name Wonderful? Well, who else has the name I am? In John chapter 8 and verse 58. Jesus is interacting with the religious leaders, and they're getting on to him, and he said something. He said, Abraham longed to see my day, and he was glad to see it. And the religious leaders look at Jesus and said, dude, you're not even 50 years old, and how can you say that you have seen Abraham, or that Abraham has seen you? And Jesus says, well, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. And at that point, they picked up stones and tried to kill him because he was claiming to be the great I am. Jesus said that quite a lot. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He claimed to be the I am. And here in the bush, at the first time God revealed his name to Moses as Jehovah, as Yahweh, as the great I am, it was the angel of Jehovah that said his name was Jehovah, was I am, or Yahweh, the sacred, wonderful name of wonderful name of God. You don't need to turn to this one, but in Genesis 32, Jacob wrestles with someone. And it's, I find it a little bit confusing when you read the account, because Jacob wrestled with a man. It says he wrestled with a man. But it says he wrestled with God. And then you compare it with a passage in Hosea 12. He wrestled with an angel. An angel who had the name of God, who had the special name of God. So who was it that Jacob wrestled with? And Jacob wants to know the name of this man or this angel or God himself who wrestles with him. And he wouldn't give him his name, but he says, I tell you what, I'm going to change your name. And so who is this mysterious messenger that God sent, who was a man, who was a messenger, or who was God himself, who wrestled with Jacob, who had a mysterious name, but changed Jacob's name to Israel? I wonder, who is this angel of Jehovah? He shows up another time here, and this is an amazing account. Genesis 22.
Says in that one, because you have struggled with God.
You have struggled with God. He wrestles a man, but no, the man was an angel. The man was a messenger, but yet he struggled with God. So it's an odd mixture of a person to be man, to be messenger, and to be God. That's kind of the conundrum of the identity of this angel of the Lord. Now here, Genesis 22, verses 6 to 18, this is where God comes and he tells Abraham, go sacrifice your son. Your only begotten son, the son of the promise, the son I promised to give you, the only son of your love. You take your son, your only begotten son, and you go kill him on the mountain I show you. It just happens to be the very same mountain that the angel of the Lord met David on years later, and where they built the temple. But anyway, he says, you go to this mountain. Well, we'll pick up the narrative in verse 6 of Genesis 22. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. Interesting, the son carrying the wood up the mountain. And he took his hand and the fire and the knife, and so the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so the two of them walked on together, and they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood. And he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. I mean, imagine the scene. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And who shows up at this monumentous occasion of the sacrifice of the only begotten son? Then the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Isn't that an interesting turn of phrase from the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord tells him, don't stretch out your hand against the lad, because now I know you fear God, and you have not withheld your son from me. Isn't that interesting? The angel of the Lord, you fear God, you've not withheld it from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram was caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed will possess the gates of your enemy, and your seed, all the nations of the earth, will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Wow. This most significant event in the Older Testament, where the angel of the Lord shows up at the sacrifice of the only begotten son, and Abraham says God will provide himself for the sacrifice, and then right before Abraham sacrifices his son, it's the angel of the Lord, this special messenger of the Lord, that intervenes and stops him and provides a substitute and then makes a covenant with Abraham about his future and about his seed, a singular seed, as it will, that the New Testament says is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a very important watershed event that this special messenger of God shows up to intervene at the sacrifice of the Son, and calls himself the angel of the Lord, refers to God as apart from him, but yet refers to God as him. An interesting dichotomy.
If you notice, all the pronouns are capitalized.
Huh?
If you notice, all the pronouns are capitalized. Myself, yes. My voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, he refers to God as separate from himself. You've obeyed the voice of God, but you have not withheld your son from me. It's personal. I'm God, but there's God. But I'm the messenger of God. Who is the messenger of God who is separate from God but is himself God? Well, that's an interesting thing to think about. One more before we kind of wrap this up, just in the Old Testament. Zechariah. We could do sword drill. Who could find Zechariah first? It's right there. Zechariah chapter 3. I love this little encounter. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 7 is this encounter. This is about to Joshua the high priest. And he showed me, Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, the angel of Jehovah. Again, if you see Lord in your English translations and it's in all capital letters, this is the covenant name of God. It's the name Jehovah. It's the name I Am, Yahweh. It's this special name of God when it's in all capitals. But the angel of Jehovah. And Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. So here's the angel of the Lord. There's the high priest, Joshua. There's Satan, who is here accusing the high priest to the angel of Jehovah. And then Jehovah himself, Yahweh himself, I Am himself. Then the Lord says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and he said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And again he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and will clothe you in festal robes." And he goes on, and the angel of the Lord is talking and encouraging here the great high priest. Now, here, the angel of the Lord rebukes Satan, who is the accuser of the saints, before the Lord. And the way that he does it, he says, "The Lord rebuke you." Isn't that interesting that the angel of the Lord says, the Lord rebuke you," where God says, "God rebuke you." You kind of have this dichotomy elsewhere in Scripture where David says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Or where God says to the Son, God says, your throne, O God, will last forever. God speaking to God. The Lord speaking to the Lord and rebuking Satan. But yet this Lord is the messenger of the Lord, who is the advocate for a sinner. I just think this is such a beautiful picture. In 1 John 2:1, we read that, you know, John says, these things I have written to you, my brethren, that you sin not. But if any of you sins, you have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Almost a great picture that before the throne of God, we have an advocate to defend us. To defend us against the accusations of Satan. Here in Zechariah, it's the angel of the Lord. The very special messenger of God. This messenger, this angel who removes the iniquity of Joshua the high priest. And takes his iniquity and takes his dirty garments away and gives him garments. And then goes on and instructs him and says, if you walk in my ways... Interesting that the messenger of God is telling him, if you walk in my ways, if you walk in God's ways, then things will go good for you. And again, when you put all these together, and we didn't go through them all, you know, many people wonder, well, who is this special personage in the Old Testament? I mean, this is a special kind of a messenger. You know, and some have wondered, could this angel of the Lord be none other than the pre-incarnate Son of God?
Amen.
It could be a special messenger, but could this be Jesus? Amen. Before Jesus came, this special messenger of God, who is in some way distinct from God, yet associated and equal to God. This angel of the Lord does show up on very, very special occasions. The very first occasion that he shows up to a woman at the well. In Genesis 21, I think, where he meets Hagar, a woman at the well, shows her some water and tells her about her future, kind of reminiscent of our Lord when he also met a woman at the well. This angel of the Lord also shows up at the sacrifice of the promised son. And he intervened at what would have been the sacrifice of the promised son of Isaac. And he provided a substitute and he made a covenant with Abraham on what was going to happen, and speaks of the future of Abraham. This special messenger of God shows up in the bush with Moses and reveals the very special name of God, the mysterious name of God, the wonderful name of God, the great I Am. And he is the one that reveals God's name. This angel of the Lord is the one, in other passages, is the one that actually led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he led them through the desert. And he made a covenant with them on the mountain. It was this angel of the Lord, this messenger of the Lord. He is the one that shows up and calls leaders and raises up leaders to lead the people of God in dire times. It was this angel, the one who bestowed gifts to his people so his people could be led. He shows up and establishes where the temple is going to be built. And he is the one that stands before the throne of God as the advocate for sinning saints and is there a defender before the accuser, who is Satan. A very unique messenger of God. He is the one sent by God. He is the one who speaks for God. And yet he is associated with God himself. This angel of the Lord, it says in other places, that God's name is on him. I mean, there, his name, I Am. He's this angel of Jehovah. And you know, when you look at what this, the encounters with this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it does parallel in many ways, at least in a typological form, if not in a, you know, and if it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it does point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the messenger of God, who is distinct from God, yet is equal to God. You know, I mean, when we read the truth of the Trinity in the Scripture, it's hard to keep these things separate, right? But it is all in the person of Christ. God the Father sent God the Son as the messenger. He comes, in fact, he says, I didn't come to do my own will or to say my own words. I say exactly what the Father sent me to say. The Father sent me. The Son is the messenger of the Father. And the Son is distinct from the Father. I mean, there is a distinction between Father and Son. Yet, the Son is equal to the Father. The Son is God. And do you know when we think of the Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is but one member of the Trinity that has made himself visible in time and on our planet. The Father has never made himself visible. The Father has never been seen, nor can he be seen by human beings. The Spirit is invisible. He can never be seen, nor has he been seen by sinful human beings. But the Son of God, who is the messenger from God, he himself has been seen. Now, let me just read some of these, because this is, I think, rather remarkable. John 1:18, I'm just going to go through these real quick. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. No one has ever seen God, but there is a messenger from God who has seen God, and he will come and explain God to us. John chapter 5 and verse number 37. The Father who sent me, the Father has a messenger. The Father who sent me has testified of me, and you have never heard his voice at any time or seen his form. He said, you've never heard the Father's voice. You've never seen the form of the Father. That's kind of interesting. And yet Jesus says in John 14 and verse 9, where for Philip, I mean, the disciples want to see God. And in verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet have you not come to know me, Philip, that he who has seen me has seen the Father? How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? That if you can look upon the one who the Father sent, who is separate from the Father but equal to the Father, then you've seen the Father. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Colossians 1:15, that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. God cannot be seen. We couldn't take his voice. But God has sent a messenger, one who is sent from God and who is separate from God but is equal to God, so that we could hear him and so that we could see him. You see, God lives in inapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see. God told Moses, no one can see my face and live. I mean, have you ever wondered about that? I mean, God says, no one can see me. No one can see me. No one has ever seen my face. And yet there's all of these instances in Old Testament and New Testament. And all the, Abraham is standing and talking to God. Joshua is talking to the Lord and the commander of the Lord of hosts. And they're like, oh, I've seen God's face. Is this a contradiction? How can the Bible say no one can see the face of God, and yet many, many occasions people do see the face of God? Well, who do they see? They see the messenger of God, who is separate from God, yet equal to God. Maybe in the Old Testament they saw the angel of Jehovah, the messenger of the great I Am, who is also the great I Am, who accepted sacrifices. And when people realized this was the messenger of the I Am, they're like, oh, I've seen the face of God. And yet very clearly in Scripture, no one has seen God, but Jesus said, you've seen me, because I am the image of the invisible God. Let me just read one more as we close here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 and 6. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Christ is the image of God. And in verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts or given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God has shown us Himself in only one place. That is the one person, that is His Son, who He sent as a messenger, as an angel, as a messenger from Jehovah, who is separate from Jehovah, but is equal to Jehovah. He is the great I Am, but He's the messenger of I Am, who is separate from I Am, but yet equal to I Am. He is the image of the invisible God. So I don't know if I've answered the question on who is this angel of Jehovah. I still don't know. But it does make me wonder, could these be times where the Lord Jesus Christ Himself appeared in the Old Testament? Yeah.
What you just said, David. How is it that they can't see God, but they see this other individual, but is equal?
Yeah.
If God says you can't see me, or at least you die, but there's other persons that's equal, why is it they can't see God or they'll die, but they can't see this one, which is equal?
Yeah. They were worried they were going to die when they saw Him, when they realized it was the angel of the Lord, who in fact was the Lord, but they didn't. And it's because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the messenger of the Lord. He's separate from the Lord, but yet equal to the Lord. Whether the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Christ or a pre-incarnate Christ, I don't know. But Jesus is the answer to that dichotomy, because He's sent from God, is the messenger of God, is separate from God, but yet is equal to God. And the only way that you can make that equation work is in the truth of the Trinity. Because no one has seen Father, no one has seen the Spirit, but we have seen the Son.
But the Spirit itself is invisible, right?
Yeah, the Spirit is invisible, the Father is... Nobody has ever seen the Father, nobody has ever seen the Spirit.
Well, has God the Father ever been to earth?
Well, he's everywhere. But the only way we can see God is hear God. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, that was Jesus Christ. I mean, that Jesus is the one that gave the law. Jesus is the one that talked to Abraham. How is it that Jesus could say, Abraham saw my day and was glad? I mean, I think it was on the mountain when he was about to sacrifice his son, and the angel of the Lord shows up and God talks to him. And at that point, he gets the gospel that God's going to provide Himself as the substitute, as the Son, the only begotten Son who will be slain. Abraham saw that then. And so Jesus refers to it. Abraham saw me. I was there on the mountain and I talked to him. I kept him from sacrificing his son, and I'm the one that's going to be sacrificed. The messenger that God sent, who's separate from God but equal to God. The one who is the great I am, but reveals the great I am to us. Anyway, just some you know, interesting things. I don't know if this is how worthwhile it is. You know, you don't want to debate too much how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And but it does make you scratch your head a little bit when you read these various accounts of the angel of the Lord, and who exactly is this person. But anyway, I hope that wasn't too much in the weeds, but it was, you know, I we were talking about angels, so I got anything else before we go eat? Just riveted, honey. Well, we'll just, we'll go and hopefully be attached to something sweet. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. We'll return thanks for the food, and we can go in there and enjoy it. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for revealing things to us. We know that the secret things belong to you, but we're thankful for the things that you have shown us, and we're so glad that you have told us of yourself through many messengers, but to the chief messenger, who is your Son, our Savior. And we thank you for providing this time of fellowship, as well as the sweets that follow, and ask your blessing on it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.